Hey guys, big thanks to our friends at Atom Tickets, A-T-O-M Tickets, for supporting FilmSack and for saving me tons of time when I go see the movies. I use Atom to buy tickets, pre-order snacks, and skip the lines at the theater. We are going to talk about a few movies in theaters, and you can use the app to get $5 off your first order with the code FilmSack. Just download the app. It's A-T-O-M Tickets, and use the code FilmSack for iOS or Android.
You here on business?
Oh, I'm here to appoint a replacement, someone to take over my duties. Unfortunately, a person with the right qualifications is difficult to find.
Well, it's a smart cookie that knows when to hang up the old cleats.
Oh, it's time. And you know, I'm afraid I really should have done this last year. I don't think I've quite got the magic for another trip.
If that's Santa Sack, why do you have it? This is Film Sack. Oh, sure.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Film Sack. This is Film Sack, mining the very depths of film entertainment for all mankind, episode 317, our Christmas episode. My name is Scott Johnson, and I'm here with Brian Alien Goats All Right Dunaway.
Ah, Merry Christmas. Meanwhile, at the entrance to Frog Pants Studios,
it gets where them sacky movies supposed to be. I got a truck full of them sackies for them fine film folk. Careful now, they be anacondas and Snake Men from Dreamscape and Kurt Russell from Escape from L.A. That's a thinker. Careful, he'll knot up on you.
Yeah.
Especially on a day like this when we got to hear Scott talk about how right he was last week. That's all them Zaki people want. Poison. Poison.
Oh, you mean, are you referring to the poll? I think you're referring to the poll. Yeah, and you're right.
The poll.
I was proving out. The Rock wins.
Poison.
Also with us, Randy, if I was Vern, I would totally sue him, Jordan.
Aloha, Scott. Brian.
Hi.
Randy. I didn't write a greeting this week because Christmas needs saving, and we are exactly the four men to do it. We're going to save Christmas, which needs saving, this holiday, this thing that millions and millions of people are going to celebrate no matter what happens to Santa. Needs saving. And also because I'm trying to do everything I can to keep this from being The Rock Part 2 on Film Sack.
I don't know, 60% of the vote, just saying. Finally with us we have the one, the only Brian. I wonder if they went around the world so fast and saved Lois Lane Ibbett.
Hi, this is Jerry over at the Sound Effects House. Yeah, I'm calling to ask you about your list of requests for this Ernest Saves Christmas film. All right, let's start at the top. In the scene with the reindeer, you want a laser blast sound effect to indicate that they're flying up on the ceiling? Okay. And the dude with the eyes that go back and forth, you're looking for an abba-dabba-dabba-dabba sound for that? Okay, sure. All right, let's get to the Santa sound effect. Let me scroll down here. You want me to jingle the chimes every single time something Santa-like happens? You know, where he's talking about presents or mentioning the North Pole or everything? Mm-hmm. Just in case people forget it's Santa, right? I was kidding. Yeah, I'm still here. And finally, you want a weird elf laughing sound every time someone looks into Santa's toy sack? Yeah, this one I'm worried about. Aren't you afraid that the laughing sound is going to blend in with the actual laughter of people in the theater?
No,
I haven't seen the film yet. Why?
It's such a piece of poop, this movie.
Hey, no, it's not.
Listen.
Oh, yeah.
If you're going to defend this.
It's a cherished childhood memory for Brian.
For some people.
Back off.
For some people. Look, I'm a
for
big.
For 50% of all the Brian's present.
Yeah, for all the Brian's present. Listen, right. I thought Ernest saves camp or goes to camp. Rather, he didn't save camp. He went to camp. The first of these Ernest movies is a great little movie. I like that movie just fine. I think Ernest Goes to Jail is okay. I think this
Ernest
is terrible.
Ernest saves camp. He apparently used it all for this film.
Yes. There you go. Ding.
By all accounts, Scott, of the 10 Ernest movies, we have just watched the best.
No. We have watched,
by all accounts,
the worst. And you're not wrong that people claim oh, this no. is the best.
Is it time for another poll?
No, actually maybe. But a lot of people do believe this is the best one. I disagree with them. I think Camp's the classic. It's the good one.
Camp is the best by far.
Right. But what we're talking about is a series of films about a hicky, rednecky sort of goofball that doesn't matter how good any of these other movies are. Ibbit is out. You are not interested
out.
In these.
I am out.
Yeah. This is like,
I need someone to explain to me. Is he a brilliant jack of all trades, master of voices and costumes, or is he maybe mentally disabled?
Yes, all those things. Let me ask you this. Do you like Pee Wee Herman?
Sort of.
Oh, come on now. Oh, you are not going to try and compare Ernest to Pee Wee Herman.
This is about to compare.
This is like you.
Well, all right. Now, hold on. Now, what is it? Let's play this. Let's play this game. What is the difference between Pee Wee Herman and Ernest P. Worrell? What's the difference? What is it? So, one is making different? Fun of so, the South Pee-wee, and goof, you know, like a redneck type. And
but
one's not.
Pee Wee Herman lives in a universe where there's some actual magic. It's really low grade magic.
Mm-hmm. He's but it actually
what? Exists. Ernest lives in a world where he bumbles through everything and comes out okay anyway. He's sort of like he's not an anti-hero. He's a sort of non-hero. Mm.
He's a bumbling hero.
You know, I hate to say the trope of the accidental hero, because he's not even accidental. Like, things happen in his favor without him.
That's right.
Trying things, to make them happen.
It's not really that things happen in spite of him or because of him. They just happen next to him,
near him. Yeah, things are happening near Ernest at all times.
And he does.
What's the difference between him and Forrest Gump? I mean,
Forrest Gump.
Ernest damages stuff, and Pee-wee doesn't damage stuff that much.
Oh my God! Are you kidding me? Of course, Pee-wee damages stuff. He makes that face and walks away. He damages stuff.
Yeah.
No. Ernest wrecks cars. Ernest tries to bring a Christmas tree in and breaks your whole house. That's like. Right.
I just
nearly killed that guy in the taxi.
He almost did. Yeah. I mean, the thing is, I'm not going to 100% side with you, Dunaway, but I understand what you're saying. And I think what you're saying is valid. There are a bunch of characters like this in TV and film over time where somebody has, you know, struck some characters. A lot of internet ones now. A lot of YouTubers do things that are now famous because that character is now famous. The one on Netflix jumps to mind. I can't think of her name. Anyway, she's the weird one that does vlogging and anyway, with her lips. Miranda Sings. Miranda Sings, that's it. So this is nothing new. They've been around forever. And I don't know that they're that different. But I will say that some are more successful than others. So I think Pee Wee Herman captures a childlike magic that Ernest can never do.
Right. Ernest, and you know, if you're a fan of Ernest, I apologize. Ernest is a one-note melody. Mm. I mean, he is... You know, the joke is that he's a bumbling hillbilly, whereas there's so many different levels to Pee-wee. He's snarky. He's I'm losing the snarky one, aren't I? He's got all those toys.
What about Mr. Bean?
That's a much better comparison.
Okay,
that
Mr.
is a
Bean.
Very apt comparison.
Okay,
he is the British Ernest.
A little bit. Now, what I want to say is, or make the argument for, is that maybe, and this isn't bad, but Ibbit has a thing where we all know Ibbit's like a huge connoisseur of music. The one kind of music he's not real fond of, doesn't really care for, is country. Doesn't like country stand-up comedians. Doesn't like what's his name, right, who played Mater. The whole reason you don't like the Cars movies because Mater's
right,
in
the,
it.
The cable guy and
yeah,
Larry the cable guy.
Hey, I like you know, I like some old stuff. I like Willie Nelson and George Jones and Hank Williams. I like that, but no numbers after my Hank Williams.
Right.
I hope you like Johnny Cash.
Of course I like Johnny Cash.
Johnny Cash was hurt. Everybody hurts sometimes.
Absolutely.
No, the wrong song.
Sorry. Yeah.
But anyway.
And even some modern stuff like Lucinda Williams. It's just the Garth Brooks and the...
I know we compared this. I don't want to get too far into the country because he's not really country as much as he's just middle America. He's not really I wouldn't say he's country.
Okay. All right. Stop a second. Do we have something from Scott Fletcher? Because I feel like we need to set a scene.
We do.
To understand Ernest in the first place.
We do. Here it is. Let me play it for you. This is Scott Fletcher, everyone, for Ernest Saves Christmas.
Ernest Saves Christmas.
That's what I said.
When Saint Nick decides to retire and pass on his magic bag of Christmas surprises to a new Saint Nick, a perky teen runaway, and a hapless taxi driver named Ernest P. Worrell must convince a skeptical kid show host to take over the mantle of Father Christmas.
You know, give up his whole life to become Father Christmas.
Right.
Pretend that nothing before that existed. That's your plot. That's basically it. That's a pretty good summation of what this thing's about. And my least favorite thing of it, well, there's a lot not to like, but my least favorite thing is the teen girl who's supposedly sort of angsty in 80s and, you know, running away from home and tries to steal Santa's sack. And
hey, I am totally Santa's. I am totally locked in to the time period this happened, because to me, I don't see what a lot of people probably see with that character, because I was there when it happened, and as a result, it's kind of painted a little differently for me. And she doesn't bother me as, or make me feel like as way out of time or anything. Just feels like it was that time.
It should now, though, right? Right. I mean, but when you look back at, so we were all teenagers when she was a teenager. Like, this was 88. This is right around the time that I was her age.
So, how old? Because I think we're just right on. Me and you were probably just on the opposite ends of 14, because I wasn't quite. I must have been like right. What is it? Yeah, I was about 14.
I was 17, so, and you turning
were,
18.
You were 17, yeah. Right? So, yeah, I mean, it's gonna with a 14-year-old. These characters are gonna resonate with me as opposed to an 18-year-old who's very cynical about this kind of crap.
Probably.
You know what I mean?
I think that's fair, but like I said, you know what I mean, and I think you should do that the rest of the show. Just say you know what I mean, Vern. Know what I mean?
Know what I mean, Vern?
But I guess what I want, I'm trying to get to the crux of is that I really like Ernest as a weird thing. I liked the commercials that used to be on TV. He did a couple of TV specials that were more about him doing lots of characters, and Ernest was just sort of the one he started and ended with. But it was lots of really weird, sort of different kinds of characters. And I really like this kind of one-man show quality to it. There's something I like about this guy, the Jim Varney. I liked what he did with Toy Story. I just like him. Mm-hmm. And I think he made, like, the Beverly Hills Hillbillies movie better than it could have been with his Jed Clampett. So there's all these things I like about this guy. I honestly thought I would sit down to this and find a little joy in it. I'd watch it and go, oh, yeah, dude, Ernest Saved Christmas. This is great. This is one of the shittiest movies we've ever seen.
Oh, my gosh, really?
So, yeah.
Okay, so I feel like we haven't fully dug down to bedrock here. So Jim Varney is the guy, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
Jim Varney has been dead for 16 years. That surprised
Isn't he amazing?
Me.
Well, he
died,
2001 or something?
Died right after 2000. Yeah, he died right after finishing his lines for Toy Story 2, I think.
Yeah, lung cancer.
Mm-hmm.
Big smoker.
So, smoked like crazy.
So this is a guy who really liked theater, grew up in, you know, like high school theater, college theater, local theater, and wanted to act and got a job making a commercial. And developed this character called Ernest, who talks directly to the camera as though it is another person named Vern.
His neighbor.
And this started in 1980,
which
blows my mind. Like,
wow.
He was, I don't know how old he was, but let's just say 30. He was about 30 when he started this thing in 1980. And then, but strangely, he didn't capitalize on it as you might expect. You would think, oh, well, he's got a character that's going to be like a stand-up act, maybe. There's other stand-ups who do this, right? Craig Shoemaker has this character called the Love Master, and he stands there and talks to you in character.
Sure. Lots of other examples like that, too, for sure. I think that's the kind of guy this guy was.
In the 80s, apparently, you could, through his ad agency, you could syndicate a character out and just go around the country filming ads for local markets as Ernest talking to camera. And when I was a kid, when I was 10, 12 years old, it was very common to me to turn on my television and see Ernest P. Worrell talking to Vern about the local car dealer.
Mm-hmm.
That was a thing. Right. That And I have a feeling that a lot of people around the country had that experience.
Oh, for sure. We did. Yes. He would say things like, you know, Larry H. Miller Honda or Safeway up the street on Main and whatever. Like, he's naming these places I knew. And so what he was doing was doing takes and dubs, depending on where what the market was. And it was really weird. But what I liked about it is the only thing I liked in the movie. So tell me if this surprised you at all. The only thing I liked in the movie is when he went to Vern's house. There's something about that. There's something about the silent camera staring at him and getting jostled around and that fisheye view of Ernest busting in your house and being an ass. That is the reason I like Ernest in the first place. I like that contradiction. It reminds me of the Christopher Walken champagne thing.
The Continental.
Yeah, the champagne guy would walk in there. The Continental, right.
No, don't. Do not leave. Do we have fresh champagne?
Yeah, if you think about it, that is an Ernest P. Worrell bit, just repainted. And I think that really works and is funny. And if you told me a whole movie through that perspective, I think I would be way into it because it's weird. It's weird.
You get bored.
Oh,
but yeah,
know.
I do too. Weird trivia: of the 10 movies, this is the only one that where he actually goes and talks directly to Vern, which makes me sad because I don't want to see the other 9 at all. I mean, not just because they're bad movies, but I think the charm of Ernest is that he's got this person that he talks to that you never see. At the same time, when Ernest goes to his house, he drinks directly from the punch bowl. I wanted to kick Ernest in the nads when he did that. I can't believe
what ripping the wires out of the wall was it? Yeah. That didn't do it. It was the drinking right out of the punch bowl.
Right out of the punch bowl. Yeah, that was where I lost it.
Oh, gotta love it. Yeah. Now, okay, so the character Ernest's character was actually created and written by Cherry, who's the director. But Jim Varney played the character and furthered the character as we know it. But he directed this movie. Did he direct Ghost the Camp one? Do you guys remember?
Cherry did all of them. He did every single one of these things, and to different effect. He thinks so. He's on the record as saying this is his best one. I disagree. I mean, I completely disagree.
I don't think we need to take John Cherry's opinion as being very meaningful.
Right.
I mean, he's clearly he had one great idea, which was to have Jim Varney play this character he created, and that's about it.
Yeah.
You guys know there was a push to do a Son of Ernest for a while.
Shut up. Who pushed for that? Someone pushed for that.
Cherry was pushing for this because, you know, Varney probably died too soon for him. And so they looked at different comedians to step into this role and to be Son of Ernest. Mm. And I've seen some stuff and I've seen a couple of actors try to fill that role, but it'll never be filled. Jim Varney is inexplicably... Ernest P. Worrell.
And he's also very, I mean, it is a bit like saying there needs to be, speaking of Pee Wee Herman, if you could somehow say, well, there's a new Pee Wee Herman taking the place of what's his name? No way.
Mm-hmm. Paul Rudd.
Right. Yeah, no way.
Could you believe it? Would there be a Pee Wee Junior? Is that what we'd
Yeah, I don't want that.
Could never, it would be crap. It would be absolute crap.
No, it'd be the worst thing ever.
Plus, that would also, well, at least it seemed like Pee Wee got women. In
what
his
if
movies?
Jim Carrey tried to do? What if Jim Carrey tried to do one?
No,
like
he, but
River,
he did
Son
one.
Mask,
he did one though.
Thing. What
he,
if that?
He did one. He did one called Pet Detective. That's
right, and the mask is another great example. And that's why those movies are almost insufferable to me too. I love some of Jim Carrey's stuff when it's slightly tapered down from Mask and Ace Detective levels because it's that whole chew in the scenery, the over-exaggerated Nickelodeon delivery of subtlety of faces mugging at the camera, stuff like that, that I feel like is, we had that. It was back in the days of Abbott and Costello and we've gotten past that.
What?
We've moved forward. We've evolved from there.
Oh, come on.
I like that.
You're cynical.
Maybe I'm bitter. Maybe I'm a bitter, cynical man.
How can you just say Abbott and Costello did it and that's it? No new generations get their own.
They don't.
It has to be Abbott Costello.
They don't. Name them one. Okay. So, all right.
Well, I'm not saying that there is a good example. I am saying that it's not fair to say that a current generation shouldn't have.
It's the vaudeville thing. And that, that had its time and place, the vaudeville style, right, of doing that stuff. There, running off stage and whatever. But
it feels to me as time goes on that those kinds of comedy are skewing toward younger and younger audiences. Mm-hmm. And I can't get over the feeling that that's just because I'm getting older. and it's not actually happening.
Maybe.
But yeah. I want to believe that the Three Stooges had an audience among people who were middle-aged, and nowadays...
Did you guys go see the movie?
Would we go see it?
No, did you go see the movie?
Oh, in the theater? Nice. No, I saw Ernest Goes to Camp in the theater, yes.
No, the most recent...
Three Stooges?
Oh, Three Stooges. No, I did not see that, no. The one with Will Sasso and all that, I did not see it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have no idea.
Rand, did you see it? Did you see it?
No.
But that's just them doing... That's just them... That's not the same. Like, I get it, and it's fine. And I here I am being a hypocrite because I really like the Beverly Hillbillies movie with Jim Varney in it.
Completely different thing, though.
Right.
Like, it is not the same kind of movie.
It's a weird
Jim
parody.
Varney has to actually act. He has to play the role of a character that was already played by someone else.
Yeah.
So you have all these expectations.
Yeah.
And by the way, he's really good at playing that role.
Yeah. He's excellent. He's the best Jed Clampett since Jed Clampett. The problem is, I mean, Ibbot, you're not. I mean, you wouldn't watch the Beverly Hillbillies, like, period. I mean, I know you've seen some, but that just doesn't.
I sat through it in the theater, and I wanted to leave 5 minutes in.
You know, I don't blame.
There was a scene where it was like that Scooby-Doo hallway where, you know, the monster's chasing the gang and they go in this door and then they come out this other door over here and then they come out this other door and now they're chasing the monster.
Yeah.
There was a scene just like that with like Granny on a scooter and there was some people behind me that were laughing their heads off. And at one point, you know, she was chasing the scooter and then she's on the scooter and then somebody behind me goes, "Oh my God, Granny's on the scooter now."
Oh, yeah, that is pretty bad.
That was the funniest part of the movie for me were the people behind me.
Okay. So I guess where I was trying to go with this is something that I think about a pretty good bit. And, you know, as I get older, I feel like I've seen done it all lots of times. And so I do get bitter about, you know, a retelling of a story that's been told a million times. I'm like, why are you telling this again? Mm-hmm. And I really feel like every generation needs their actors to step up and play those roles because kids don't care about, you know, young people don't care about going out and going back and watching our peer group or our, you know, the groups that we saw coming up. They don't care about seeing that.
Oh.
They want to see their new thing, right? Some of them do. Some are hardcore. Go ahead.
All right. So Saving Christmas requires a trope alert because there's a lot of it.
Oh yeah. All right. Here.
Okay. So. There's so many Saving Christmas films that they fall into all sorts of subcategories, like Santa's been kidnapped, Santa got sick, you have to go to the North Pole to save Christmas, and so on. What's your favorite? Somebody name a favorite.
Elf is one that comes to mind, where everybody's losing their love for Christmas and the spirit, and that's making Santa's sleigh not work so well anymore.
I like that one.
Yeah, I liked Santa Takes a Break, that Rankin and Bass one where he just kind of quits. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about? Older?
Yeah, that one's all right. I like ones... Oh, man.
Is Fred Claus one of these? Does that fit into this?
I think it does.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember. Every time I think of Fred Claus, I get it confused with... not the Santa Claus.
Bad Santa?
Not Bad Santa, no. There was another one that was kind of like that. Whereas the brother
Bad Santa is not a Saving Christmas movie.
Giamonte. Uh-huh.
Yes. Yeah. Paul Giamatti.
Yes. Paul Giamonte. Yeah.
Giamonte. I was trying two words.
All right. No. I remember that. That was all right. That was okay. I just don't like them, period. I've decided I don't like the Save Christmas motif.
You're supposed to follow that with Bah Humbug, Scott.
I know. Yeah. I don't know why. I don't know why it's just. I love Christmas stuff. I love Christmas stories. I like peripheral stories around Christmas. I like stories with Santa in them. I just don't like the ones where I give up. Someone needs to save it, or somebody kidnapped him, or the elves are going to have to fix it.
What about when Tim Allen killed him and had to replace him?
Yeah,
because he ran him over. Or something, right?
Did he really kill him? No, he moved the ladder and
right,
Santa
fell off
moron.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
I don't remember movie very well.
You know, there are three of those movies.
Yeah, there are.
Yes.
The first one had its
they're
moment.
They're all good.
I don't know, dude.
Have we ever talked about how my bar of excellence really lowers when it gets to Christmas?
I guess so.
Really?
That's true for everybody. And everybody makes all of these very generous allowances also. Like, we've all just mysteriously decided that Die Hard is a Christmas film because it, you know, because it happens near Christmas and somebody mentions Christmas one time.
Well, and there's, like, and there's music in it.
Ho, 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 I have a machine gun now. Yeah. It's all sprinkled all throughout.
There's a bunch
of
stuff.
He's using freaking right. Christmas package tape to hold the guns on his back. Spoiler alert.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that
I'm
part.
I'm just saying, Christmas does that to us. We don't do all of that for, I don't know, Easter or whatever.
Yeah, true. Yeah,
well, you know what I think it is?
What?
What I think it is just the fact that Die Hard is such a good movie and usual Christmas stuff is such crap that you can only watch around Christmas and tolerate, that Die Hard kind of escapes that. You can watch Die Hard any time of year and enjoy it. You can't watch Elf any time of year and enjoy it or Jingle Elf. All the Way.
Mm-hmm. I watch Ooh, Elf geez. Once a year, every year, and it's within 48 hours of the 25th of December.
Yeah.
That's all I can do.
Same. Right. It's the same with, Christmas Vacation. Like, I can't do any of those the rest of the year, but Die Hard could be set any time of year and it would still work as a film. Yeah. And none of the other movies, I don't think, maybe two, but I don't think any of the rest of them tried to be around Christmas again, did they? I don't think so. I don't think the producers, I don't think anyone making those movies ever
was it New Year's for the part two? When was it?
No, it was in the snow because
definitely in the snow.
He stabbed a guy with an icicle.
Yeah. No, he did. But was that Christmas?
Wasn't it supposed to be like right after?
It could be January or February or something. I don't know.
No. It was a year later because she was coming back to New York. He was picking her up from the airport or something.
Yeah. Yeah. That was it. Because
she was in the airplane and he was coming back. And for some reason, the reporter was on the same plane going to New York.
Yeah, that was convenient. Yeah, but there was no, I don't think it was Christmas that she was going there for. But the bottom line is
Die Hard 2 takes place on Christmas Eve.
Oh,
the plane is waiting for to land at Washington.
What?
Dulles.
Dulles.
Skype drug you out. That's all that was. That was really weird. So, but wait though. Like when was Ghostbusters, the first Ghostbusters set? Was that set around Christmas? Because that feels like a Christmas movie to me.
It does.
Is it that any time a movie is set in New York City and it's not clearly summertime, it kind of feels Christmassy?
Maybe.
Right. Like
maybe.
Home Alone.
Yeah.
Or Home Alone 2, I mean. No, I think Ghostbusters, for some reason, I'm not remembering any snow on the ground, like when they're walking around outside. Oh, no, because they're like walking around outside in regular
it's like rainy
suit,
fall weather.
Suit outfits. Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, all right. So the bottom line is, the point is, none of them are good except Nightmare Before Christmas, where anyone has to save something. That's it.
Right.
The rest of them are poop.
It's a trope that never really works that great. Although Elf, we agree that Elf is a pretty good movie.
Elf is fun.
Generally speaking, this is just bad. A bad thing to base a movie on.
Right. I mean, if you're going to take like holiday-based movies, Halloween wins by a mile just out of sheer quantity. I don't know about quality, but quantity for sure. And then what else is left? There's Planes, Trains, and Automobiles for Thanksgiving, and then a ton of Christmas garbage, all of which my wife wants to watch back to back. She loves it.
Me too.
Hallmark Channel. Yeah. Hallmark Channel, aka the Christmas Channel.
Those ones, yeah. That stuff on Netflix, my wife is just every one of those things multiple times. We talked about it on TMS today. It is ridiculous.
Yeah. And then TV shows. Every TV show seems to have to do a Christmas special every year.
Sure. Yeah. Sure.
And these tropes all go into those too, right? Like they can't help but bring in subplots from A Christmas Carol and do their Dickensian crap in the sitcom.
Oh, I just thought of another person that's like Ernest P. Worrell. I just thought of it. Pauly Shore is another one of those.
Yeah.
Oh, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Now, he could be Son of Ernest. That'd be awesome.
Oh, my gosh. But my point is, there are these characters, and sometimes they're closer to who they really are, and sometimes they're super put on, like Ernest or Pee-wee. But sometimes a little more subtle, like Pauly Shore. But it's a thing.
It's the first time subtle and Pauly Shore have been used in the same sentence.
It's Ace Ventura. It's all these things. And so to bring it back to this movie, I don't know what was in place to make Ernest the thing at the time. I don't know. It must have been those commercials. I found it charming at the time. I don't think we're ever going to get past a point where Ibbot is okay with hillbilly humor. It's just not going to happen.
It's not going to happen. I was okay with the commercials. I don't remember any local ones, but I remember like, wasn't there a maple syrup or Jimmy Dean sausages? It was some breakfast thing that he
Oh yeah,
he did. Comes in through Laverne's window.
Yeah, then, some of that stuff was definitely not it was national or regional. Yeah, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, if he got his own movie deals, then obviously this had some impact. But
sure,
I don't know. I just always liked him, and somebody must have liked him up at Pixar. They're like, hey, come be in my Toy Story movie. You can be the Slinky Dog. Okay, sweet.
Right. And basically, hey, love his work as Slinky Dog.
Sure, even though it's basically the same voice. You know,
kind of is, yeah.
Okay, I just got to come back to the phrase hillbilly humor. There has to be an example. Someone give me an example where it works and it's good and Brian Ibbett's going to like it.
I have one.
I can't wait for this.
No.
I have one. You ready? Here's Scott's. Yeah. Ready?
See, I'm not.
Let me give you one. I got one. Let's go back again to Trains, Planes, and Automobiles. Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
Okay. All right. The guy walks up, parks it, and goes.
Brian Ebbett, how do you feel about Cletus from The Simpsons?
Oh, he's great. I love
there's Cletus. A reason that you only see Cletus deliver one line and then leave. Because he's funny for that long.
That's how long. We've already established
by the way.
You were never into the Dukes of Hazzard, so I can't go there.
Nope. Hee-haw. Grandparents watched it. Couldn't do it. Could not get it. Yeah.
So I've named one that made you
laugh.
Boat,
come on.
Yeah, but that's a small segment. If there was an entire movie based on that guy, it would be insufferable.
Yeah.
The guy from Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
Yeah.
What the heck is his dog doing buried under the straw for that long, and then comes out when Steve Martin tries to take his glove?
Do you not like Dumb and Dumber? I take it because it's a lot of the same humor.
It is a lot of the same thing, and I don't. It gets for me. It kind of gets old quick unless they can, you know, figure out ways to make it.
Unless they can
make it funnier around them. Yeah, I mean, there had to be other things going on around the whole Dumb and Dumber thing. But
I think I feel the way about stoner archetypes that you do about the hillbilly humor. I feel this way about Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. I can't stand it.
What about Cheech and Chong?
Cheech and Chong, I'm a little more okay with because it felt like it had an edge to it. But even that, after maybe one of those movies, you start in the second one, you're like, well, this is the same as the last one. Like, these are the same movies over and over and over. So I don't know if I could do them too long. But
and it's not even the fact that it's like a stereotype or anything like that that bothers me. It is the, just the lack of any sort of depth. If he was a hillbilly that was also like a master of technology. I don't know. I'm struggling to come up with some other way to make
He's a master of disguise.
Yeah.
I mean, he does that really well.
Well, no, he's a master of being around people who can't see through disguises. Like that's Joe Dirt.
Randy.
Did you ever see Meet Joe Dirt?
Yeah.
Oh, yes,
I kind of like Joe Dirt. I kind of like Joe Dirt. I kind of did.
It's a funny
I like
movie.
Joe Dirt a lot.
I don't think Joe Dirt's all that bad. But again, it's I have a higher tolerance for the hillbilly stuff than Brian does.
How did Ibbett?
You found my kryptonite.
isn't Smokey and the Bandit acceptable? Like it seems
acceptable.
Like, yeah.
Under your terms of a hillbilly humor acceptability.
No.
I can't say the only time I've ever seen a Smokey and the Bandit film is the one time with you guys where we watched Smokey and the Bandit.
Yeah, and you weren't going
to
rush.
Never had the desire to see any of the other ones.
So even watching that didn't make you want to watch the second one or catch up on the...
No, and I'd put that closer to Dukes of Hazzard than I would to Ernest. Just it's like, you know, a little bit of country and fast car porn.
Well, you know what Brian likes. A little bit of country and a little bit of car porn. Fast car porn.
Well, and
bring on
a lot
the
of times,
emails, bring on the tweets. I'm fine. I can take
it. Yeah, he can take
it. And you know, like the Dukes of Hazzard movie tried to pack it all in, right? So you have the curvaceous, buxom women and you have the exciting car chases and everything. Mm-hmm. This movie with Ernest, I don't understand. Like, it's almost like they tried to pack in jokes, but they couldn't ever find the punchline.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just like there's a couple of car chases, but they're not really car chases. There's not like the camera's in the car and you don't ever really see anything, you know?
Right.
And there's so much hand waving with the purpose of just getting to that punchline. The whole thing with there's no reason Santa couldn't have flown in on his sleigh. That was never really explained. Right. Yeah. No, I've got some people picking them up from the airport. Huh?
Yeah, it is kind of. I mean, if you are supposed to accept Santa Lord some way, and then so what? He comes with a giant red bag but that gives people shit.
They explain why he couldn't do it because he waited too long,
right.
And his Christmas power was diminished.
Right.
Oh. Yeah.
No. Oh. So there's the whole thing about what we should have done last year.
Don't make me explain Ernest to you, for Pete's sake.
And he actually had to have the toys like finished and delivered by the elves like 4 days before Christmas so that he could go to Orlando and find a replacement.
There's a little bit of bending the rules of Santa in this movie because the sack contains a magic and you reach inside and you make these horrible faces and you pull out the item.
Yeah,
that you want.
Yeah, but then earlier he told the story about how he gave the girl the thing she didn't want. I assume he got it from the same bag. Like, the bag rules are fishy, dude. They're sketchy bag rules.
Squirrely bag rules.
Yeah, I don't hold with it when they do that.
But anyway, the trope you're talking about on TV tropes is called My God, What Have I Done?
Mm.
And it reads, the old Santa begins to sadly realize that he kept going in his festive role far longer than he should have, because he loved it so much.
Oh.
And he's made the task of appointing a new Santa that much harder than himself. In cherishing Christmas, he may have doomed the holidays forever.
Oh, right. That is a dark, dark tone there in that movie that we didn't realize was even there. But here's where I peel away from Ibbot. I like the idea of sometimes dumb vaudevillian humor. My problem is when it's just really bad. So the guy with the wobbly eyes, every time he did that, I could ask myself is, why are you doing that?
Why is this in this movie?
Yeah, there's no reason for you to do this ever in a movie.
Yeah, that's Chuck.
Yeah,
those characters that they pop up in Ernest a lot of movies is Chuck and his brother. What's it, Bobby? Chuck and Bobby.
Oh, were they really? Are they in other ones?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
I didn't know they were regulars.
And I enjoy their characters, but I'm with you. I don't like the darting back and forth noise. I don't mind the eyes so much; it's the noise.
Yeah, it's
but is that to signify that he's being just driven crazy by all these things happening around him?
No, it's just as a punchline marker. It's
a signifier. Like, somebody should fire the audio guy.
It's basically the equivalent of just some big sign appearing on screen called "Laugh Now," right? You know, just
it's a rim shot.
Yeah, I don't like it. That part I don't like at all. I like the weird.
I did come up with a couple places where I thought Scott was grossed out.
Oh, sweet.
And one of them has to do with that guy.
Okay.
With his slurping the toothpick business when the elves show up.
Yep, that was exactly the one. You nailed it. I thought it would take you longer to get to it, but that's the part that grossed me out.
Do you want to hear my runner-up?
Yeah, go ahead.
Ceiling pancakes.
Oh, dude. Dude, when he puts all the butter on his hands, I was grossed out.
Yeah, that was pretty gross.
Why does he have 2 gallons of butter in the first place?
Why such a humongous bin of butter? Yeah.
So did I blink and miss that the pancakes were sticking to the ceiling, or was it just implied?
Yes, you missed it. He flipped them straight up.
Yeah, and then they were gone for a long time. I just assumed that was a worse joke, that it was just like, oh, they're still hovering somewhere. I didn't realize that we were going to go all literal and they stuck to the
ceiling. No, and he walks through the kitchen flipping them up and then is standing in one place and they all land on a stack. I think way funnier would have been him, you know, walking around the kitchen, talking to her, not paying attention, and they all land on the plate like one after the other.
Yeah.
Way, way funny.
Ibbot rewrites Ernest.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Let me put my hands in this movie.
It's a relative way, way funnier, but it's way, way, you're right. It's way, way, it's not that funny no matter what you do, but it's better than it was. You're right.
Right.
I agree with you there. I don't know. It's a freaking weird movie. It wants so bad to be maudlin and sentimental at times.
Right.
It just isn't allowed to do. You're not allowed to in a movie like this. I don't think it. None of that ever works for me. I can't go, oh, this poor girl and her plight, or poor Santa,
no,
I can't find a
the
guy.
The movie won't let you. There's a trope. Give me a trope alert.
All right, I got one right here for you.
You establish a character is a criminal. It's Harmony is first seen trying to rob a restaurant.
Yeah.
She She has just been eating, and she's trying to leave without paying.
Yep.
Oh, it's the this is Plucky Diamond Dash. Those are not supposed to be cute, though.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be cute. It was not portrayed as cute. It was portrayed as obnoxious. And for whatever reason, Ernest is just going to, she's just going to hang out with him. The whole movie, I'm like, anyone going to talk to Child Protective Services or someone?
Well, that's the thing. The 70s and 80s, you see a lot of this in TV shows and movies of that time where runaways were committing these small petty crimes just to make it. And you, for some reason, had some kind of sympathy for them, or you're supposed to.
Well, also, it also wasn't that weird to see them end up with some adult as their partner, you know, throughout the rest of the movie. Like some protector would end up just being some strange man. And I don't see any movies like that now. Like,
and then you would be watching Punky Brewster. What happened?
Yeah, no kidding.
I thought it was actually
a little bit.
This movie probably would have worked really well if it was animated. I mean, they could have done everything that they did in the film, and the it wouldn't have felt like such a chewing on scenery.
Well, plus you can get away with it. Thing. Like animation and style and animation can get away with so many things and have them come off as charming, funny, or otherwise, you know, something you actually want to see. Whereas a scene of Ernest trying to avoid traffic and a guy in the ripped back seat sliding back and forth over and over, it's just like, all right, we get it. He's moving fast.
I thought I laughed. I liked the guy's look, and he was so stiff. I'm not gonna laugh. I just had to laugh.
You laughed a little. All right, it's fine. Look, it's all gonna be different levels here. I just think
I was also high on NyQuil, but I had a good time.
which reminds me, do any of you guys have those movies where you're pretty sure it's bad, but you've only ever seen it drunk, or you only like you'll watch it in when you're sick or something? You know what I mean?
I probably do.
Just said, you know what I mean?
For me, Rocky Horror Picture Show is kind of like that. I saw it in the theaters, midnight showings a couple times with friends, and thought it was, oh, this is just the greatest thing ever. And then I got the DVD and watched it for some reason alone or, you know, just at the house, not in the a big crowd, and said, this is hard to watch unless you're actually at a midnight theater watching the thing with the whole crowd and people throwing stuff up in the air and things like that.
I'm trying to think of something that's like that.
And don't get me started on the live version they did this last Halloween.
Oh yeah. You didn't like that.
Hey,
did you?
When,
yeah, go ahead, Brian.
When I'm sick, I get a hankering for some Kevin Smith, and so I watch Clerks and that kind of stuff. Now, I was feeling under the weather this past week, and I watched Yoga Hosers, which is Johnny Depp's daughter.
Yeah, and, the Kevin Smith thing. Daughter. Yeah, how was that?
Yeah.
How was it? Is it
poop? I was halfway through. I was thinking maybe I'm running a fever because I think I'm hallucinating. Is that a Nazi wiener that they're fighting? I think it is. And it's interesting. I enjoyed it though. I had a good time. Don't think I was the target demographic, but it wasn't bad.
Yeah,
not bad.
On a scale of Chasing Amy to Clerks 2,
I would probably put it close to Clerks 2.
I need clarification on which way the scale goes. Which was the example of the greatest and the worst there?
Chasing Amy is, I think,
good stuff.
The best Kevin Smith movie. Okay, Dogma, right. I think, is up
just
there.
Just making sure.
I like Dogma. Sure. Good. Was Geely? No, Jersey Girl was the Ben Affleck one. Maybe that's the new one.
Oh, my God.
I realize that my opinion is not exactly called for on Scott Johnson's podcast network, but I'd actually put Clerks 2 a lot closer to Chasing Amy.
Oh, really? Okay.
And I'd make the worst one Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back. I think that's the hardest film to enjoy.
Well, I think Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back is maybe my favorite. Weirdly.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it really is. I love that one. I love all the guest stars in it. I love the idea of it. I love So those are two characters that are kind of one note that I really like. I like Jay and Silent Bob a lot.
Wow, and they're even the stoner trope, too.
They totally are. Well, sort of. They're more like...
Oh, come on.
I wouldn't say stoner types. Come on. The stoner type I'm talking about, the ones that are dumb, like, whoa, man, okay. Like that. I hate that.
Okay.
But
okay,
I don't so mind the like me, sardonic
you're
hanging
telling
out.
Me when Jay gets stoned and sets a bunch of animals free and makes a video claiming to be the master of the clit.
Yeah, he's doing it right.
That's not the stoner thing you're talking about.
No, the stoner thing I'm talking about is Keanu Reeves going, whoa, it's Nephicephalies come over from time travel. It's shit.
Okay.
There's a difference. I'm telling you, there's a difference.
There is a difference. We could do a poll. There may not be a distinction.
Let's do it.
Let's take a poll.
Let's do a poll. All right, so wherever the hell was I? In this thing. So we've talked a lot about it. It's here's some trivia. There's not a ton. It's all kind of real boring trivia. But John Cherry, the director of this movie and most of the other Ernest movies, said he thought it was his favorite. I mentioned that. This is the only Ernest film to not have a villain of any sort, other than themselves, I suppose. But there was no...
Other than right? Ernest?
I don't know. The one, the guy's agent was kind of a dick, but not really a villain. Mm-hmm.
Now, he just didn't understand, right?
Yeah. My favorite actor is the old lady who... I swear, in TV and
Billy
movies.
Bird.
Yeah, Billy Bird used to wear like a bra on the outside or something. Well, am I remembering that right?
There was a movie where, yes, it was like, was it one of the vacation films where she's the grandma and she wears her bra on the outside and has no idea?
Something like that. And I swear it's her. And it's either TV or some movie.
If only we had some kind of...
Yeah, but how are you going to search for that? Old lady with a bra on the outside. How are you going to do that?
Old lady. You got to buckle down and do a Google search for Billy Bird bra.
Here we go.
Exactly what I was doing.
I searched for images of old lady bra on outside, and all I got was horrible, horrible things I never want to see.
Why would you be so general? That's a horrible idea. Too general.
Well, where would you look?
It's funny. I just ended up with a bunch of
Billy Bird bra.
Probably British women. some British birds wearing bras.
British
presumably named Billy.
All right, Billy Bird bra. See, that doesn't help me either. It's just a bunch of women with bras.
Right.
It drove me crazy.
I'm sidetracked
now. That doesn't help you?
No, it doesn't. Well, with this, no. But it helps me in other ways. Anyway.
I totally know what you're talking about.
So is this telling us that it probably never happened?
Right? No, I swear it did.
I'm remembering it, too. I'm remembering it was like... She's like, it was like 16 candles or something. It's like the dopey grandma.
The grandma who's
comes
like,
out wearing a bra on the outside and doesn't realize it. And people have to be like, grandma, you're wearing a bra on the outside.
Yeah. I call it it's a trope. The trope of happy dementia, like the joyful dementia right. Where just, oh, grandma, ha ha ha, but she's fine. You know, like that kind of stuff in movies. And I don't know what the movie was, but I swear I remember this.
Somebody in the listening audience will remember it.
Yeah, somebody somewhere. This is the second time.
Dennis the Menace, right?
Who? No, was it? No.
Dennis the Menace. Yeah, she was making out with Dennis, and I don't know.
No.
What?
Nobody was making out with Dennis, I hope. He's a little kid. You can't make out with Billy Bird. The second time in 2 years that Billy Bird and Douglas Seal appeared together, they played an elderly couple on an episode of Cheers in 1982. That aired in 1987. Oh, no, I'm sorry. That's when the show started. It aired in 87. And so this is the old grandpa guy, or the old Santa guy, and then Billy Bird together on Cheers, which I kind of have a vague memory of that as well. For some reason.
I bet it was Police Academy 4, Citizens on Patrol.
Maybe. Oh, she was in that. Wasn't she?
Oh.
Yes, there's was something she? About her bra in that. Oh, now I don't know.
Oh, wow.
This is going to drive me up a tree.
I want that taken out of context. There's something about her bra in that.
I don't know. She died 94, 2002. All right. Maybe it was Home Alone. Probably not. 16 Candles. Oh, it's going to bug me. All right, whatever. We'll figure it out. Someone will write in.
Speaking of misunderstandings, this movie has one of the best Lady Montagreen tropes ever.
Explain that. What's a Lady Montagreen?
It's a name that you misunderstand when you hear it.
Oh.
And
so misread lyrics like, excuse me while I kiss this guy, or wrapped up like a douche.
Oh, I love wrapped up like a douche. It's my favorite one. Yes. Never heard. Where's that come from?
An old Welsh poem, where the line is, "She laid him on the green."
Oh, Lady
and
Montagreen.
Somebody misheard it and said she's Lady Montagreen.
Lady Montagreen. The Lady Montagreen in this movie is, of course, Santa, who is referred to repeatedly by different people to actually hear his name spoken to them and decide his name is Santos. And I loved that. It put a smile on my face every time. I started thinking of him as Santos. Like, that's perfect.
Santos. Santos, bring me your gift, Santos. I like this. All right. What else? There's I got some sweet tropes from old movies. That airports are full of Hare Krishnas and Arab sheiks. That's the best. I feel like old movies always had those two walking around doing stuff in airports, and that's just not a thing you see anymore, especially the Hare Krishna thing. When's the last time you saw an actual Hare Krishna guy at an airport? Never.
Yeah, it's been a long time.
Yeah,
not since 9/11. Like, you just can't. You can't get past security without a ticket.
Yeah, you can't.
But even in the pre-security area, you don't see them.
Yeah.
Well, because you'd get kicked out. Like, if you're not on your way to or from the security area, they just make you leave.
Yep.
Oh, really? You can't just go hang out in the...
No, I don't think so.
You can't.
I think the security thing is to the point.
But the restaurants are so good at the airport.
But they're all the restaurants now are inside the secure part of the airports.
That's true. That's all changed. Or at least evolved.
Yeah, 9/11 ruined everything, people.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Mm-hmm. Terrace one. Here's Santa's too skinny. That's what I think. I just want to say that. He's too skinny in this. You need a big fat guy.
Yeah, but the replacement had moobs.
Yeah, he was all right.
When he comes out in the t-shirt out of from the shower when Santa just walks into his house for some reason, and he just shaved and dyed his hair black, he's got a t-shirt and he's got moobs.
Totally. You're not wrong about that.
All right, give me a trope alert.
Okay, I got one. Hold on. Right here.
The love interest that makes you go, ew, I didn't need Santa to revert back to being Seth Applegate and immediately get it on with some old lady.
Right.
Yeah.
That was like way too fast.
Plus, there's a little...
I can help you find your sack.
And at the end, he goes...
Down by your ankles.
He goes, I don't... Wait, shut up, Dunaway, you're killing me. Oh my gosh, wait, I'm having one of those again.
Okay.
All right.
We killed Scott.
I'm okay. No. I'm okay. Oh my gosh, that caught me so funny. I like a picture of that guy's nutsack hanging out. Like,
Ernest Slays Johnson.
Jeez Louise. All right. No, what I was going to say is at the end, he says, what are we going to do tonight? Because it's Christmas Eve. And she says, oh, I think we'll think of something. I'm like, good Lord. Is she going to give him an HJ behind the 7-Eleven? Like, what are we doing?
Right there. Nice. Right then and there. I thought it was going down then and there.
Right.
Yeah. Like,
didn't like
that.
It
was way too fast. And what's funny is, if they would have just teased it, it would have been interesting. It would have been funny and cute, you know? And I was still really enjoying that his real name is Seth Applegate. I don't know why I thought that was funny. But it just they just ruined it by laying it on too thick.
Yeah. So the idea is, let me get the lore straight. There is no Mrs. Claus. You're just a Grandpa Santa whose time it is to be Santa. And then when your time's up, you pass it on to somebody else and you become... you recede and become Gladriel again or whatever you do, right?
Yeah.
All right. So that's dumb. I don't like that at all. That's stupid. Mm-hmm. That messes with the lore of Santa in a way I'm not comfortable with. The reindeer looked like big spiders on the ceiling. I just wanted to point that out.
Yeah.
Yes.
I didn't like it.
Yeah, no. And the whole like off-screen whoosh, like they couldn't do any sort of special effect to even just make a reindeer fly up, put in front of a green screen and just make it look like it's rising, whatever.
Yep.
But the exaggerated, you know, the two guys in the warehouse of looking up and back and forth.
Hate that. That's the kind of practical effects I don't like to applaud or welcome.
Just lazy. It's lazy filmmaking.
Yeah. This is your problem, I think, on the whole. I don't think Brian, I think, would be fine. If we could find a creatively enough done character that was hillbilly-ish.
Sure.
You.
Jennifer Lawrence in Winter's Bone. There you go.
There you go. If it's a real comedy, that one.
Ibbit, what's the part of the movie that you enjoyed like the most? I really, you don't have to say there's a good, but like across this movie, like when he's trying to get him out of jail, or was there a time when you were like, this is better than the rest of the movie?
Oh man. There has to have been. I can't think of it, but there has to have been. And I swear to God, I even watched this thing 1.5 times. I can't believe I did, but
yeah, you did that because we had a little extra
time, and I'm like, all right, I'm just going to put this in on the background.
Yeah. You poor thing.
I know.
Did you like that running gag trope where he couldn't remember the name Blitzen?
No.
Called him Blister.
No. And the constant, replacing quotes with missing words, replacing them with other words like, oh, what we have here is a failure to accumulate.
Yeah.
And stuff like that.
He was into that. He was really into that. All right. I'm going to agree. I think it is lazy. That's the problem. It's lazy. You're right. I'm not going to argue with that. Hey, Dunaway, here's the funny thing. Brian and I, or Ibbot and I, talked about this midweek. You sound like Ernest a lot.
Yes.
Even just naturally, you just sort of sound like him. And there's clips I got today where you'll go, whoa, that's...
But unlike Ernest, me, Brian Dunaway, I love you.
Oh, yeah. You're not lazy. You're not lazy writing. No. You're the kind of hillbilly we want in our lives.
Exactly.
All right.
I was surprised that in Dunaway's greeting, he made himself sound less like Ernest. you did, and I was curious. You were doing Ernest doing a character in your greeting, and I felt kind of bad. I wanted to ask you to just repeat your greeting as just normal voice, because it's
normal.
You don't sound like Ernest's affect.
No.
You just have the same general voice as Jim Varney.
You do. Is his normal kind of, you know what I mean, Vern? Like the kind of more quieter approach is where you've got
to quit smoking, Dunaway.
Yeah, that's the problem.
Yeah, well,
I
make it to 50.
I've got some clips. I got some clips that'll even you, I think, will go, oh my gosh, are you sure that wasn't me? Because it sounds just like you. It's super weird. I had a real problem with this. This gave me a break during the entire thing. The girl who doesn't think Santa is real, despite sitting right next to him, but believes the bag gives you shit, so let's steal that.
Yeah.
She never really, until the end, was like, oh yeah, Santa's real. The entire time she's like, skeptic, skeptic, skeptic. Oh, give me your bag. I can see it gives free shit. Well, then he's Santa. Yeah, she drove me crazy.
Ernest also doesn't believe until the bag basically convinces him.
Right.
When did that happen? I don't remember him doing that.
He looks in the bag and he sees the glow and he goes, oh my God, he is Santa.
Wait a minute. What was that? That wasn't Ernest. What was that?
I'll Somebody tell you what that me. Was.
That was Yosemite Sam, I think.
Yeah.
That was Brian Ibbot writing this movie just as easily as this cherry guy wrote it.
Right, exactly.
Like you're not really having to try very hard, and it kind of proves your point. So I'm not gonna, I can't argue with it. There are gonna be people. I've already seen. I did a Twitter poll, by the way. You guys want to see how the poll's going?
Sure.
How's the poll going?
The poll is going. I put best Ernest movie poll. Twitter only lets you do four, so there are only four options. Ernest Saves Christmas at 20%. Ernest Goes to Camp 32%. 20% for Goes to Jail, and 28% for Scared Stupid. The current winner leader is Ernest Goes to Camp. I hate being right 2 weeks in a row, but sometimes this is just how it goes. It's fine.
I'm not too proud to admit to it.
Yeah.
Right.
It's a burden I'll saddle. It's fine. It's not a problem.
This was my first Ernest movie, and I don't know that I would not turn down us watching and sacking another one. That's all I'm saying.
It would just have to be camp for me. It needs to be camp. Don't you think? Because these others... Well, let's see how the polls... We got 23 hours left. 200 people is all who have voted yet. We'll let this go. I pinned it. We'll see if we get any other action on it. And if we do, then maybe we'll consider it. But, man, that is just like saying, hey, guys, one of these days, while Ibbot's not looking, I'm going to stick a needle in his ass. Like, it really is like something you don't... I mean, you probably don't ever want to see one of these again. Why would you?
I'll see another one. You know, if you say camp is funnier, I mean, I'll sit through another one.
Yeah.
Plus, I think it makes for good film sack if you know, we're not all in general like for a movie.
Sure.
You know?
It does. Right. It, like, I still roll all the way back to Wet Hot American Summer. Three of us hadn't seen it, and... Our reactions to it were just one of my favorite episodes of Film Sack.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. We were, yes. It's still a movie I don't love, but the TV show, I don't know if we ever followed up on this. The Netflix After the Fact TV thing they did, I loved that. I thought it was really fun.
Oh, yeah.
I enjoyed every second of it.
I still haven't seen it. I need to see that.
Yeah. I watched a few minutes of the first episode, and I couldn't stand how some of them looked so much older that it didn't seem like the same people.
Yeah, in a couple of cases, you're right. I mean, they were all older anyway, but the idea, they made it, they tried to make that part of the funny. They were like, well,
yeah,
Amy Poehler's 42, and so here's the joke that she would somehow still be in camp or whatever. And
right.
And but I just, I laughed. I thought that was funny, and I hated the movie, so I don't know what went wrong with me, but TV show worked for me for some reason. All right, well, we'll keep our eye on this this awesome poll. Anyone have anything else they'd like to say about Ernest Saves Christmas before I play clips? No,
I really, okay. I really enjoy.
No,
I want to hear the clips. I just want to name one more trope.
All right. Oh, what, you want that? Hold on.
we've only been doing this for 6 years,
yeah,
folks.
You think I know?
The driving like crazy thing. I love that trope. It always works for me. There's never, I could name many cases where someone drives around like a maniac and I'm glued to it the whole time. I'm always left with this thing though. Like, what universe are we in where cops don't show up and ticket Ernest and, there aren't people, you know, pulling out guns from their cars and shooting at each other.
You mean not, you're not talking about when he's going around the world to save Lois, right? Not that part where he's zipping around the earth backwards.
No, his taxi, his number 69. Oh, taxi.
Yeah.
Nice. Well, they put
yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Like, in Men in Black, they do this. They do this whole drive like crazy thing.
Yeah.
But there, they're using some supernatural stuff
yeah.
to explain, to just hand wave away the, what would be the natural outcome in mm-hmm. the real world mm-hmm. where, you know, Ernest should end up having to deal with the police, and instead he gets away with it. And I kind of like it. It's one of those tropes I can.
Is there a best? What is the best drive like crazy movie, you guys? What scene is your favorite ever?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked that because I was going to interrupt and tell you mine anyway.
Oh, tell me yours. What is it?
It's a Foul Play when Chevy Chase and Goldie Hawn commandeer a taxi that's got an old Asian couple in the back. And and they start driving around like crazy like that. And the Asian people in the back are just having a hilarious time. They're laughing their heads off.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, Kojak, bang, bang. And they're, you know, just having a having a great time. That's my favorite example.
That one's pretty good. I'm with you on
good.
That. Do you have one?
I got one.
Okay, give me yours.
In Raising Arizona, Ed goes to pick up High right after he's robbed someplace. And she drives like a maniac.
Right.
And it's so funny because they do that thing like where she's not entirely paying attention. It's just happening automatically.
Yeah. I love that. That one's a good one. I like it. Dunaway, you got one?
Awesome. Both those are great. I can't top that.
I'll give you one. I'm saying, I hate to keep going back to it, but I feel like they just did this stuff better. But Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, when he gets his coat stuck and goes on the wrong side of the freeway.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah.
Everything about all of that scene with the chair being down and the cigarette flopping in the back and launching the thing out in
the
front
chest
of him.
Flipping over and over.
Yeah, yeah, the skeletons as they're getting scraped by two semis, and then devil outfit on John Candy for half a second. All that stuff. Just, I think that's the best there ever was. I love that. All right. Well, that was a fun little excursion. Yep. Okay. Time for a brief break, and we'll be right back. Stay tuned. Hey, guys. It's Scott Johnson here, and I'm here to talk to you about our friends at Atom Tickets, ATOM Tickets on Android and iOS. What are they? Well, they're a free app, and it makes it super easy to go to the movies. You can buy tickets, watch trailers, even pre-order your popcorn. Plus, with Atom, you can scan your QR code at the theater so you don't have to wait in line. And if you plan a movie with friends, you can invite them right from the app so you can sit together without footing the bill. That's always a good thing. Once you have it, you won't know how you lived without it. Download the Atom Tickets app today. That's ATOM Tickets from the App Store or Google Play. Try it out and get $5 off your first order with the code FILMSACK. Just download the app. It's ATOM Tickets and use the code FILMSACK. I've got a good recommendation. Moana's still in theaters. Use it for that. Hey, how about The Arrival? I love that movie. Probably my favorite movie of this year. There's even still Star Wars in there. So go do it now. That's ATOM Tickets. And use the code FILMSACK. That's FILMSACK for $5 off. ATOM Tickets. These guys are awesome. ¶¶ Now let's play clips. I got some right here. How about, okay, there it is. How about this?
Oh, Christmas tree, 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 oh, Christmas tree.
Get it, Ibbet? He doesn't know the words.
He doesn't know any words, so he just sings the title over and over.
I'd actually do this every year. Ever since I've seen this movie, I do this every year.
No, you don't.
I
do
sing
you really?
Christmas tree song.
Do you really?
Yeah, I sing it until somebody finally says, "Will you stop?" Seriously, it is the most fun.
Oh my gosh, that's
Christmas.
Hilarious. Okay, I support this. It's fine. This one I wrote weird. I said every time Dunaway is in the gym and old guy says, "Oh, okay." An old guy says this to you when you're in the gym. You ready? Here you go.
Nice bag.
All right, that's it.
Nice bag.
That was a long explanation.
Oh, that was hanging out. Excuse me.
Yeah. Here's Ernest talking.
Smell those Christmas trees. You can keep your channel number 5. Just give me a whiff of the old lonesome pine. That symbol of brotherly love. That centerpiece that all mankind gathers around to share the cranberry sauce shaped like a can.
It is so...
Randy and I just got the Chanel number 5 joke.
I did too.
The channel number 5?
Really?
I thought he was talking about a TV station the first time I saw it.
I heard
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I did too. The one that shows the Yule log all around Christmas, right?
Yeah,
that's what I thought too.
Chanel number 5.
Oh, now this movie's great.
It's great now.
Yes.
Yeah.
change your opinion. Saved Christmas.
Scott saved Ernest saves Christmas.
All right, here's, what's this? Him doing it again.
I even memorized the names of all the reindeer, like Donder and Blister.
Donder and Blister. There you go. That's funny because they're spelled wrong. That's pretty good. All right,
well,
tell
Donder,
me.
Donder is the traditional. It is Donder.
No, I thought Watson. It was Donner.
Donner. Donner. Donner is the what it's evolved into, but originally it's Donder and Blitzen because it's thunder and lightning.
In
Norwegian talk.
Okay, so Donder is it. I always thought it was Donner, and I don't know why I thought that. Well, whatever. Donner directed Superman.
It's evolved into Donner. You're not wrong in thinking that it's Donner, but okay. It used to be Donder.
So when I hear people sing it that way, it's just because now that's what we do, but the origin was Donder.
Right.
All right.
It was Donder.
I set out to watch Ernest Saves Christmas. I didn't know I was going to learn something.
I know, right? I definitely learned. I had no idea.
Right.
Weren't you the one, Brian, telling me about, there's a bunch of Christmas carols that have change or something like Frank Sinatra told somebody to change something.
Oh, no. That was a jury thing yesterday on Hotline where the original, right. Have yourself a merry little Christmas because it might be your last.
Yeah. It's like super dark.
This will all be in the past or something like that.
Yeah. You're saying like Frank Sinatra was like, baby, we got to change the lyrics, see, or something. And they changed them.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
That's awesome. All right. Here's tell me this isn't Dunaway talking. I'm going to play it.
You're safe with us.
Oh my Lord. It sounds like you.
You're safe with us.
Can you hear that?
It actually sounds also like the Pee Wee Herman thing that Dunaway always impersonates of the paging Mr. Herman.
Paging Mr. Herman. You're safe with us.
I can see that, I suppose.
Yeah, it sounds like
Hold
you,
a second.
Man.
Let me put the headphones into my mouth and see if it sounds the same.
All right, well, here's what I'm going to do. I'm gonna play it, and then I want you to repeat it, okay? So see if you can do this. Here we go.
You're safe with us.
You're safe with us.
Wow.
Is that close?
Close enough, man. All right, angry acting
You're
in
safe
earnest.
Safe with us.
Here's an angry acting moment.
Call it clairvoyancy. Call it extrasensory perspiration. I just had this hunch.
I am not running a charity operation here. This is a business, and a business is supposed to make money. And good Samaritans like you don't make money.
Yeah, so get the H out. Your man,
this is right before he goes in and sees, Santa in training, the Santa for hire that is doing a puppet show for a bunch of kids in the Children's Museum, standing in front of a giant magnifying glass, which is focused on his crotch.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Like you do.
It's funny. Come on, that's funny.
And it's funny, but I wish it would have been worked into the plot somehow.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
Intentionally.
Yeah.
It's funny hearing you say it. It wasn't funny watching it, but hearing you
this
say
movie
it.
This movie is chock full of Chekhov's guns, and you get numb to it. Like, oh, I wonder what's going to become of that. Nothing.
Yep.
Nothing will become. It's a one joke moment.
Chicks in the bucket, all of them. Speaking of which, let's just play that. I haven't played that yet. Here you go. There you go. All right, here's Ernest saying no.
No.
There you go. It's also very done away.
No.
Oh, weird. Do it again.
No.
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 Oh, my gosh. You have the same cadence. It's so weird. All right, here's an annoying Ernest laugh. Oh, my gosh, dude. Mm-hmm. I hate it.
Yeah, if I smoked a little more, I could do that one.
Yeah, I need some smoke.
And that is the Jim Carrey Fire Marshal Bill kind of thing with the move in the mouth.
Oh, the,
you know, the hinge jaw thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Here's the sound. All right, there's that.
Oh. I got a little tired of him making sounds like that.
Yeah. Yes.
Was that funny? Like, no, was that a thing?
It was never funny. It's not funny.
Okay.
He's, again, the best scene is him and Vern. He needs to be this innocent, mm-hmm. stupid antagonist to a normal guy who can't speak for himself and is the camera. It's a great gig. It's a funny bit. But it's just, when you spread it out like this, like not enough butter on giant pieces of bread, it's just lame. Here's bad language.
Can't we do something about the violence and the bad language?
Who do you think you are? You can't sit there and dictate changes to me. You're not some kind of big star, you know. You've been on a chump kid show in Orlando your whole life, and it got canceled, right?
Man, that guy's a dick.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the subplot was so weird.
I didn't like it.
I didn't understand what it was doing in the movie. Does that subplot ever contribute to Ernest saving Christmas?
No. In fact, I'm not even sure Ernest did anything. How did he save anything? What did he do? He just... Nothing. He didn't do anything.
He tried to.
Ernest stood by while Christmas was
Christmas.
Saved.
Yeah,
which
Christmas
should have been the title of this film.
Exactly. I don't think he had much to do with the saving, which is frustrating. Here's a sound that just I couldn't stop playing. Okay, there you go. It sounds like one of those turtles that are doing it. You know how they make that sound when they're doing it?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Is that YouTube video that circulated for a while?
Yeah.
Go back two sounds and play them back to back.
There you go.
That's great.
That is turtles.
Just made it better.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Here's best line in the movie.
E F E F E F E F E F.
I like that part. They kept saying
that was a good joke.
Yeah, it was all right.
That was a really good joke because you got to see for yourself what they were talking about.
Yep.
And one of them was right, and one of them was always wrong.
Yep. I thought this line was out.
Plus, that guy with the big eyes is just funny as heck to look at. Yeah. Like, he's a good sight gag.
Yeah, the little skinny guy, you mean, right?
Yeah, the little skinny guy.
You know, he's great. You want to have him as your little, almost silent, little partner guy.
Right.
The teller to your pen, basically.
Correct. The Costello to your Abbott.
That's good.
The Laurel to your Hardy.
I know. Your silent Bob to your Jay.
Mm-hmm.
See? Hey, this wasn't in this movie.
He hits my hair.
That's the wrong movie. It's a different movie. All right. Thank you for that. Yeah, no problem. Oh, look. I know what this is. It's a film. It's the Film Sack checklist. The movie does lack quite a bit.
It's a Sam Whack.
Quality old actor and a shit job. Check. Speaking of Santa Claus, he does a lot of stuff. He's a classically trained
actor. And did a pretty good job with what he had to work with.
Sure. Like,
I was totally fine. The movie starts with him at the airport trying to tell somebody that he's Santa, and the other guy isn't listening. By the way, that's a joke motif that's repeated over and over and over, that a person isn't paying close enough attention, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I thought this actor was, like, I had high hopes for the movie for a little while as a result of him.
He's all right. He would be a good Game of Thrones actor or something. Mm. He reminded me of the guy at the wall who was Maester Aemon, was it?
Oh yeah, right.
Guy that
just passed
died.
Away, right?
Yeah, didn't that actor he? Just died, I think. Mm-hmm. Anyway, doesn't hold to actual Santa canon. Check. And everybody was sweating all the time. Check. Oh, and the reason I noticed that is because they filmed this in Florida for real, and everybody was hot and sweaty all the time. So
yeah, according to the filming locations, they actually filmed entirely around Disneyland. They were at a Disney World, sorry. And they were largely at some studios that belonged to the TV station where it all kind of got started.
Oh, where his Ernest thing began.
Yeah.
Proto-Ernest. I like it. Star Trek connections. There are 7 connections that are all orchestra, production, accountants, stuff like that. Nobody on screen. I'm still not convinced 100% about that. But.
And Jim Varney could have totally played an alien that they found in Next Generation.
Oh, or he could have been a really good.
Oh, totally.
He could have been a great Ferengi on Deep Space Nine, like a visiting Ferengi or something. Put ears on him and have him go nuts. Oh.
Packlid.
Yeah.
You got to make my car go.
If you had to make a list of people to play Barkley, you know, in place of what's his name, I don't think Jim Varney would have been a bad choice.
No, he would have been okay. Mm-hmm. Better Barkley. Build a better Barkley. All right. Soundtrack, Greg, given an IGIWF, or I guess it was fine because I don't really remember it. I don't know if it was any good or not.
It wasn't that good.
Pretty bog standard, I'm guessing. Twitter post. Yeah. You guys sum it up in 100 and... What? What'd you say?
I don't even remember it.
Okay. Sum this up in 140 characters or less, if you would. Let's start with Maui. Sorry, Randy.
Ernest saves Christmas, Vern. I mean, except it didn't really need saving, Vern. And we all we accomplished was lawbreaking and destruction, Vern. Know what a tweet, Vern?
Nice. I like the Vern. I'm glad we got more Vern in this because he is the unsung hero of this movie. Brian Dunaway. Uh-oh. Are we missing Dunaway?
There he is.
Oh, hi. Brian Dunaway, are you there?
Hi.
It's your turn.
Oh, is it Twitter time posting?
Yeah, where have you been?
It's Twitter post time. Let me roll to my screen over here. I got dropped. You didn't hear me go.
Oh, no, I missed it.
No,
I missed it.
Hi, I'm back.
Hi, welcome back.
I mean, Brian. Okay. Yeah. Ernest Saves Christmas. I hope Randy didn't already say this. Like spoiling a movie with the title of your movie. It's Poison.
Nicely done. And finally, Brian Ibbett.
Ernest Saves Christmas. This is Charlie and the Chocolate Factory if Slugworth was a hillbilly.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's actually kind of intense.
I wish you'd said that earlier in the episode, except you had to save it for
your
Twitter
post. I was saving it for my Twitter post.
Yeah. That's a great way to look at this movie.
Yeah, I like it. Well done. I also have been told that we have alternative titles, and so I'm going to play this button here. There we go. The 300 Faces of Jim Varney, or You Shouldn't Say It's 7 p.m. when the clock in the shot says it's 6:45. That drove me crazy.
Yeah.
They kept talking about how it was after 7, and it was always 6:45, and it's like a city clock. It's not like it could be bad, or at least in theory. That was really dumb. Mm-hmm. All right. You guys want to do an email? Let's do an email.
Yeah.
I'm gonna actually pull one kind of at random because I forgot to pull it. Here we go. The subject line is still upset about this. David Cohen wrote this in, and he says this. Scott, I'm with you that The Rock is the best thing Michael Bay has ever made by a mile. The real reason for the email is because I'm still upset that you had me watch Crossroads and Daylight to a lesser extent without acknowledging it. He says, I don't mind that you called an audible because you spared a lot of people, but I'm sure one of you guys, Dunaway, for example, watched it and wanted to make some comments. Thanks and keep up the good work, David. Well, thanks for the agreement, but yeah, once in a while we'll see something after we've announced it on the show and we'll just go, ooh, or one of us will just be like, no, or whatever. And we have audibles. We do call them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not very often.
Veto. We each have veto power.
Yeah. And there's no real limits on them. We try to be responsible with them, but if somebody's really feeling strong about it, we can.
It's really rare. We're, you know, 320 episodes and gosh, maybe five times, maybe seven times we've done that.
Yeah. Right.
I've been doing it all wrong, by the way. I thought we had Cheeto power. So I've been getting orange fingers instead of, cause I would have vetoed a lot of crap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good point. One more email from Greg Davey who says, morning Sackers. I'm only 14 minutes into The Rock and already had to pause and comment. I'm listening to Randy wax philosophical about what the creators want you to think about the lives Hummel's men take. He says, and then in bold writing, they don't kill anyone until the SEALs are in the shower. They even say Hummel used brutal but non-lethal force to get the gas in the beginning. So keep on loving Hummel, Scott. Greg, follower and lover of The Rock. So I think what he means is, a lot of people talked about this. I thought they were shooting him too, but the guys in the place where they stole the gas ball, green balls, they were all trank darts and knockouts. Nobody and bean bags. Nobody was getting killed. So he didn't kill anyone, or nobody killed anybody until they were in that shower. And he didn't want anyone to shoot anybody. And so I think that's what.
Well, you know, he couldn't give that order, and the guy couldn't take that order.
I will not repeat that order.
Yeah.
And yeah.
There was a person who commented on our filmsack.com blog. Go to filmsack.com to leave comments on each episode, and they were one of the few who decided to tell Scott that Scott was wrong and that The Rock was Michael Bay's worst movie, but misspelled the name Bay, B-E-Y, over and over. And it was the cutest thing ever, because that's Beyonce. Beyonce is Bay.
Right.
And I kept thinking, wow, Beyonce, what a director.
Yeah, she's great.
At least they didn't spell it like Bay, like, you know, the term like for boyfriend or girlfriend right now, my Bay.
Right, B-A-E. Yeah.
Yeah.
Freaking hate it. That thing needs to go away.
Yeah, it does.
And then I got a thing reminding me that when you guys tweet, and this email says, Brian Dunaway tweeted, I'm a sarcastic butthole. So there you go. Not me, but him, right? You meant you were a sarcastic butthole.
I did. Right? I did.
Okay. Hey, what's our next movie? Go ahead, Brian.
Oh, yeah. You know, my kids are all getting to be teenagers, and I'm finding that my sarcasm is no longer funny.
Oh, they're not enjoying it as much as they used to?
No, they don't. Yeah. They won't tell me either, because I had a child tell me that they were afraid to say something in front of me because I was afraid I would be sarcastic. And I was like, oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. No, I totally understand.
A sarcastic butthole.
Yeah. All right. So that's where that came from.
I wish Twitter allowed more poll options, just because a number of people decided to, tell us, hey, you didn't give me the opportunity to love Con Air as much as I want to.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's not a Michael Bay movie, though.
Yeah, it's a...
Right, well, yeah, but, Simon I mean, Westheimer, imagine if right? that poll had included all of the different movies that we talked about in the episode.
Oh, I see.
Like, it just would have been, a very interesting to see. Because, there were people who voted for the Transformers movies. Don't know why, but they're out there.
Yeah, they exist.
And
you know what? And that's what I like. Bringing up Con Air really cemented what I like about Armageddon more than The Rock is the cast. Mm-hmm. I like Nicolas Cage and I like Ed Harris. You've got some of those B-listers in The Rock as well. But, I mean, come on.
Like Sean Connery, that old B-lister Sean Connery in there.
Well, Sean Connery. I forgot to mention Sean Connery. But, I mean, you look at Con Air and you look at Armageddon, and it was like everybody was an A-lister at the time. Yeah. All those top roles.
Yeah. Yes. There is something to that for sure. And everybody in there is great. And by the way, Will Patton, who was in that, speaking of this, is a really good narrator on this Stephen King book that I'm reading.
Oh, really?
Which one? What's the book?
I'm actually reading it, but I heard the audiobook because I have it synced. But it's the Mr. Mercedes, first of those three detective novels he just wrote. They're pretty recent. They're awesome. It's the weirdest Stephen King, because there's no supernatural anything in it, like none of it.
That's the son of The Shining, right? Mercedes, isn't that what that is?
No, the continuation of The Shining.
I don't think so. It's about a guy who takes a Mercedes and runs a bunch of people down and kills them, and then this detective's trying to figure out who did it, and then there's this like cat and mouse thing going. It's just a pure detective movie. Eric book rather, and it's awesome. And Will Patton does the voice on the book, and it's really good. Anyway, that's all I had to say about Will Patton. Hey, our next movie is Swordfish. I think I don't know. Is it? It's still, that's what it says.
Cool.
Yes, we're finally going to watch Swordfish. It's been pushed down and down and down our list for months, and we're going to watch it.
I see Spies Like Us is on here. I probably am okay with that.
Oh, that's a good one for this one, because I don't think that's nearly as funny as we thought it was in the 80s.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to hold up. I just remember pretty Russian chick in her coat out getting some sun.
Oh, yeah, that's Vanessa Angel, who was in Kingpin.
Yeah, and wasn't she married to
him? And Donna Dixon, who was married to Dan Aykroyd.
Dan Aykroyd, right.
Donna Dixon.
Yep.
I knew that was a great
connection to this movie. Stop.
But we got that, Death Race 2, Nick of Time, Explorers, a bunch of stuff coming up. Nice. I can't wait. But
I wanted to talk you guys into this, and we may as well do it now. I just desperately want to watch Expendables 3 while it's on Netflix. I know we've already sacked the first two Expendables, and it's going to be a lot more of the same. But I want to watch this movie, and so I need you to agree to watch it on FilmSec, or I'm going to go watch it.
I'll watch it. Let's finish it out. Yeah, mm-hmm. I don't have a problem with that. Let's do it.
Let's ride this trilogy right to its bitter end.
Yeah.
If there's an Expendables 4, I think I'll give you a pass. Yeah. Just so you know.
You need to take that train all the way to the station. Exactly. I'm totally fine with that. Let's do that. Where we insert it doesn't matter to me. We'll let you guys know. Follow us on Twitter at FilmSack. While you're out at FilmSack.com, as Randy said, people comment and talk and have conversations there all the time. That's FilmSack.com. You can also email us at FilmSack@gmail.com. Leave us voicemails at 801-471-0462. And find us on Twitter at FilmSack. That's going to do it for us. Real quick, Merry Christmas, everyone. You guys and everyone listening. Yeah. Have a great Christmas. Yeah. Brian, Randy's going to have the best one because he's in freaking Hawaii. Like a bastard.
No kidding. Can't beat that Christmas. Jeez. Yeah.
What a poop.
It's except there is really nothing like you're used to going on here. Like there aren't lights, there aren't trees, there aren't snow. There's nothing. Like it's like Christmas is coming, but it's just going to be another day like any
interesting.
Other.
Interesting. The point. Oh, see, I don't put like a pike pig on like a somewhere
pike?
And then
it's a pike pig.
But yeah, put a pig in a pike and put lights up his butt. And,
yeah, that'd be.
I have seen no evidence of the traditional Hawaiian pike pig. However, I will keep my eyes open.
Well, when you see one, don't forget to put the traditional lights up its pike pig butt.
Pike pig. It was Dr. Sleep. Don't email us.
Dr. Sleep.
Oh, Dr. Sleep. That's right.
Yeah, don't email us. Hold on to your butts. All right.
Well, Merry Christmas to you guys.
Yes. And everyone listening, thank you guys for a fantastic near year of shows. We'll be back soon. We'll let you know when. But we hope you all have a great and safe holiday. That's going to do it for us, for me, for Brian, and for Randy. We'll see you next time.
You know what I mean?
You know what I mean? Doing pet detective over there.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Yes. Get more at frogpants.com.
That was a good fart. That was a great fart.
Thank you.